Hi, welcome to the first segment of our podcast, How Video Games Changed Our Lives. I'm Zach, our interviewer, and we'll be interviewing Ryan and Jacob about Minecraft, a very popular game that came out in 2011. Do you enjoy the game?
I enjoy the game a lot because there are so many different things you could do in it, which makes it fun. There's just a lot of things you can build, craft, fight, and farm. You could even talk to some villager NPCs that allow you to trade. You could also go mining. It's one of those games where you keep doing more things and getting more advanced every time, and it all amounts to beating the final boss, the Ender Dragon, and even then you aren't done playing that world.
I like Minecraft because it's a sandbox type game. There are infinite possibilities to each world, meaning that you can make 10,000 worlds and have 10,000 different outcomes at the end of each world.
Do you like the community?
I think that the community is pretty good. I like that the YouTubers that do Minecraft for content are actually pretty good YouTubers. I don't really get involved with this community stuff that much, though, so I can't speak for everything. I just watch Minecraft videos.
The community is pretty good. I don't think that anyone can say it's a toxic community like Fortnite or some other games. Other than a few toxic Bedwars players once in a while, everyone is pretty nice.
Do you think it's worth the money? Why?
Whether it's worth it or not is decided by how much you play it. $7 for mobile and $29 for PC is a little bit pricey. And when you add in the monthly payment for Realms or other non-Mojang-run servers like Meloncube, which lets you play with more people and lets your friends log on to the world even when you are not online, it is pretty expensive. That being said, though, if you play all the time, it might be worth it.
I think that the game could be worth it if you're actually going to play. If you buy the game for $29 on PC, beat the game, and then leave it there forever, then you probably shouldn't get Minecraft. $30 is pretty expensive, and it could be a waste of money. Don't waste your 30 bucks on something you won't touch. On the other hand, it could actually be worth it if you plan on doing much more than beating the game. If you want to make big builds and farms and cool things after beating the final boss, you probably should get Minecraft. It can be worth it.
Do you consider Minecraft an educational game?
It can be educational in some ways. Regular Minecraft can give you insight into what people's lives used to be like because of the farming aspect. Minecraft Educational Edition not only does that, but can be used to learn to code, and both can be used and have been used to create models of things.
Minecraft is by no means educational. I don't know about Education Edition because I've never played, but I can't see how it can be educational at all. You fight things, build structures, and mine blocks. It is for pure entertainment, and it's good entertainment. It's for after school.
Thank you, interviewees, for your answers. And overall, viewers, I hope you understood a little more about Minecraft, and I hope you enjoy the rest of this podcast. So have a good day. Cut.
That was great, guys. And Ryan, I would definitely say, oh, let me stop recording. Hold on.
Zap, pow, bam. These are all words you would find in a comic book. Zap for electricity, pow when someone takes a heavy blow, and bam for the slider hits.
Welcome all of you amazing, incredible, fantastic, and more people who have joined us today.
We'll be talking about superheroes of our daily lives and from the pages and screens of comic books and the epic blockbuster movies. What's up, guys? Today we'll amaze you with so much information on how superheroes inspire people's lives and our lives as well.
Yeah, by the time we were done, you'd think our work was fantastic.
So, what are we waiting for? Let's get to the topic, now starting in 3, 2, and 1.
So guys, did any superheroes in your life inspire you and how?
Well, Spider-Man inspired me to defend myself against bullies and stay strong. If Spider-Man didn't exist, there might have been a 5% chance that I would not be able to defend myself.
Superheroes can change people's lives in many ways. For example, such as making someone want to go on a roller coaster or conquer their fear of heights. If your hero is a web-swinging superhero like Spider-Man that flies in the sky every day, which propelled by his web-flinging, this can help you conquer your fear of heights because your favorite superhero is going through the streets of Manhattan every day at towering heights. I want to go on The Voyage. It's the new roller coaster in Adventureland. Too bad I'm scared of heights. If only I wasn't, I could be able to experience so many cool and new things.
Don't worry, dude. It would just be fine. Just think about all the cool things you wouldn't be able to experience if you were scared of heights.
You're right, Davian. I want to experience all kinds of cool and fantastic things that I just wouldn't be able to experience if I let my fear of heights get to me. Thank you, Davi.
All right, now what are we waiting for? Let's ride it.
Whoa, that was a dope ride. I feel very brave after you gave me your talk about not being afraid of heights. Davi, it's been good meeting you.
Thanks. Well, we can ride another roller coaster. Let's ride the insane roller coaster.
Whoa, that was amazing. I will be in the amusement park hall of fame. I need to watch that cool thing about you, Davi.
Well, back to talking about before, now you see how superheroes can inspire and change our lives.
Not only they can inspire us, but they can also be very useful. They can help companies market their products and etc. Also, superheroes inspire us our lives because they help us do good things.
I can't believe Superman toothpaste is on sale. I have to buy it. This shows how superheroes can help market a company's products for free to a little child or adult who loves superheroes. I know I do.
Yes, stores start to sell superhero themed stuff. I've been seeing more and more of those kind of gadgets when I go to the store.
Now let's talk about how heroes can relate and inspire us.
Well, heroes can help and support us if we are plumbed. For example, if you're in a fight against a bully much tougher than you, then you might think of the superheroes and then you just realize what to do later. All thanks to the superheroes. So yeah, superheroes are usually helpful.
Not only that, heroes can inspire you to do something that maybe you never thought of or didn't dare to do, such as, for example, you may have wanted to play basketball, but you didn't dare to do it. But after maybe watching your hero do it, you have the courage to do it too.
To add on, they can help us get through our day and give us the courage that we didn't know we had. If you have stage fright, then your favorite superhero can help you power through that.
Also, Marvel had many superheroes that are very different, like Miles Morales being a bi-rational Spider-Man with his dad African-American and his mom Puerto Rican, Spider-Gwen being a female Spider-Man, and Penny Parker being a Japanese Spider-Man. Throughout Marvel, there are also many religions, like the Thing from Fantastic Four and Magneto from X-Men are Jewish, Miss Marvel being a Muslim, and so much more. Along with that, there are LGBTQ characters such as Valkyrie and Weekend. What am I trying to say is that Marvel is diverse. We are not that different from superheroes ourselves. There are superheroes around us, from the people who keep us safe to someone spreading a little kindness throughout the day.
Superheroes don't need to have superpowers like super strength or lightning speed. Someone can be a normal human being and be a superhero in some people's hearts. Now let's show an example of how someone can be an everyday superhero.
Well, from my personal experience, my parents were like superheroes to me. They didn't have any superpowers or anything like that. But something they did was that they taught me to be cool and safe. They kept me safe as well. And in my opinion, that's what made them a superhero in my heart.
Wow, great story. You showed us that superheroes don't have to have powers or anything like that, but can be normal human beings, just like everyone else. That was such a wonderful story, Davi.
So guys, I guess this is the end of this podcast. We hope that you are amazed at us. Please subscribe to Halsey Talks. We appreciate your support for us a lot. And more amazing podcasts will come soon from the Halsey Talks.
Yes, we can conclude that superheroes are a very important part of our lives.
Also, stay tuned for more podcasts. Also, special thanks for Isaac for being a director. Davian, aka me, the person who's talking right now, for being an actor, Jeff for being a writer, and Avi for being an editor.
Before we end this segment, special thanks to Mr. Lober for helping us with this podcast. We appreciate it, Mr. Lober. Bye, guys, and we'll see you in the next one.
Hello, I'm Dosa Drew, and I'm the director of this music segment. Today, groups are going to be discussing how music has further impacted our life, the meaning of music, and the valuable message that it shares within people. As we introduce our actors and actresses, we hope you enjoy.
Hey, my name is Celeste, and welcome to the Ariana Grande group.
Hello, I'm Jasmina.
And I'm Mark, because why not?
Before we start, here's some background info on the pop sensation coming from two super fans.
Before her music, Ariana Grande Butera, her full name, starred in Nickelodeon shows such as Victorious and Sam and Cat. Her very first song was Put Your Hearts Up, and the rest is history.
In 2018, she won a Grammy for her marvelous album, Sweetener. And most recently, she won another Grammy for her collab with Lady Gaga for Rain On Me.
Today, we've picked out a few songs by Ariana Grande to talk about their meaning.
So the first song we chose was Fake Smile, which is from her 2019 Thank You Next album. This song is about how you do not have to mask your feelings and pretend that you're fine. If you have been through a lot and it has really taken a toll on you, the best thing for your mental health is to seek help. But the worst thing you can do is pretend you're fine and deal with it alone. There is always someone to help.
Our second song is Breathe In. From the first verse, you can tell that this song is about anxiety. It's an important reminder for all of us that whenever you feel like the pressure is really getting to you, especially during this troubling time, it's good to take a deep breath and compose yourself. It really helps you if you want to calm down.
Or you can be like me and play Breathe In over and over again and lose yourself in Ariana's amazing vocals. The last song we listen to is Thank You Next. Celebrities are constantly in relationship dramas, and it's tiring for most fans. However, Ariana is better than that, and thanks, Traxxas, for all that they have gave her emotionally.
And on that note,
we say thank you.
Next, for listening to us. Like, thank you, yes, girl.
Now, we pass you on to the rest of the music group.
Bye.
Bye, amigas.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Leah, and today we'll be talking about One Direction songs.
The first song is Drag Me Down, which was released on July 31st of 2015, and you can find it in the album Made in the AM.
Drag Me Down is about One Direction's family members who help them realize they can tackle anything in their way. This is a part of the song that supports just that. All my life stood by me, but no one else was ever behind me. All these lights, they can't blind me. With your love, nobody can drag me.
The second song is Steal My Girl, which was released on September 29th of 2014, and you can find it in the album 4.
Steal My Girl is about their fans and how other bands and artists can take them away from them. They say that they have them as support, and they're the ones who give them strength to continue on their journey. The last song we're going to share with you is History. It was released on November 6, 2015, and you can find it in the album Made in the AM.
History is about their journey as a band from 2010 until 2015. From the hate and the controversy and the pain of losing a member and some family, they had each other to lean on. In this song, they also wanted to let their fans know that they have a lot of history between them and that they appreciate them. And now they're missing. This is their simple but effective way of bringing across a message. Now for the next group.
Hey guys, my name is Vivian.
And my name is Caroline. We're going to be having a discussion about some of the most famous musical theater songs. The first song we picked is Dear Theodosia from Hamilton. I really like this song. It has a lot of meaning to it.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs in the show. I can really relate to it. Hamilton and Aaron Burr, two of my favorite characters, have their first children, Philip and Theodosia.
The amount of love in their voices as they sing is so touching. Having a child really is a miracle. It also takes a lot of responsibility and care, but it seems as if that doesn't matter to them. They'll do anything for their children.
I can completely agree. It's such an amazing song, but so is the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh my God, yes. The Phantom of the Opera is such a slow-moving song, especially the super high note she hits at the end. I could never.
To be completely honest, I never watched the movie, but just the song explains so much of it.
I know, right? It's one of the most famous musical theater songs in the world. Just to give some background, The Phantom of the Opera is about the Phantom who falls in love with the woman Christine. However, Christine falls for someone else.
I thought he was a villain. What did he do wrong?
He's not your typical villain. He's the type of villain people feel sympathy for, not hate. Pretty sad, though. Have you ever heard I Dreamed a Dream from Les Miserables?
That song is way more tragic. Just so many emotions in one song. So sad. Her life just became broken.
Especially thinking about all she's been through. Her singing about all her grief is hard to listen to. She lost her job and now she's so desperate she's doing all sorts of weird things like selling her teeth and hair.
Gross but crazy. It's upsetting anyways. You really just have to do what you have to do to survive. She's working so hard for her daughter who barely knows her.
Yep, messed up. Well, all these songs are super effective and powerful. Take it away, Director Doa.
This is the Director Doa here, and on behalf of the group, we would like to thank you for listening and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Hey, I'm Ananya, the director, and welcome to the fourth segment of the Halsey Talks podcast. Today we will be talking about the evolution of movies and the special effects that develop them over time. Without further ado, let's jump into it.
Hello, I'm Jackson, and let's kick things off with a film many of you may be familiar with, The Wizard of Oz. It is considered one of Hollywood's most influential films, and its colorful appearance and timeless songs make the movie very enchanting.
Yeah, I love those songs, such as Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
As the movie came out in 1939, the iconic transition from black and white to colorful, picturesque scenes influenced movie makers to begin producing movies in color. Although The Wizard of Oz is best known for its transition from black and white to color, the movie also includes a unique and fascinating plot that teaches a lesson.
And it was such an inspiration for other movie makers at that time.
Wow, Cruz, I've never thought about it like that. As The Wizard of Oz became the first of many movies to use special effects, the film was critical to the introduction of special effects, which was beneficial to the entertainment industry. The producers used miniature models and were able to create a tornado by projecting film behind the actors. Many of the creatures were created with special models as well.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, they always seem so realistic.
Film, despite its resemblance to The Wizard of Oz. The film is about a poor brother and sister who go on a quest to find the bluebird of happiness who can make their dreams come true.
I can already tell this won't be good.
Yup, many people found that the Bluebird copied similar aspects of The Wizard of Oz and saw it as a ripoff. Not many people found this movie interesting. It had copied some of The Wizard of Oz concepts, things like the iconic change from black and white to color.
Maybe if the film was more original, it could have received better reviews.
Possibly. Even though superstar Shirley Temple, who plays Mittle in the movie, it was a major fail. Although this movie also had similar aspects to The Wizard of Oz, going from the real world to a place of imagination, it didn't quite work out. It also contains an antagonist that has similar features to that of the Wicked Witch of the West. The villain in the story was a human cat named Tylette, who had similar features to that of the Wicked Witch of the West, down to her laugh, posture, and appearance, and other than the green skin, of course.
That's a really bad sign. I find it so interesting that just one movie can both positively and negatively impact the film industry.
Yeah, but speaking of positive impacts in the movie industry, The Wizard of Oz and its special effects have also caused movies to completely evolve. There are no longer basic green screens and simple technology, but rather modern day technology that creates the most realistic imagery possible. Hey, I'm Sarita, and I will be talking about the movie Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. The way they incorporated the magical effects to the movie just made the movie even more admirable. For example, the film producers were able to visibly show the magic of the spells being used. The way the light sparked from the wand was a great example of special effects in the movie. They also used CGI or computer-generated imagery to film the Quidditch scenes. Quidditch was a magical sport that would be seen throughout the rest of the series with amazing quality and some incredible effects, from flying broomsticks and game aspects to rain and thunder.
The game Quidditch is very interesting. It also looks awesome when they fly on their broom.
Of course, and it's amazing how creative they were with this, especially with the wands.
Yeah, the other effects look so real as well.
Speaking of other effects, the floating candles in the Great Hall were brought to life with special effects too. They were created digitally after some candles had fallen onto the dining tables. The effects showcase the hard work put into it. I think that this movie was more successful than the live play of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child because a live play is limited to props and costumes. Editing can make films entirely better because it gives the viewer a new experience that isn't necessarily in real time.
Oh, that's a shame. I wonder if just like the film industry, the theater industry will evolve as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The impact of the special effects drew a lot of new fans to the movie theaters, even if they've never read the books. The movie had a lot of sound effects that help enrich the movie even more. The effects were a big part of this movie because it revolves around a magical world that could only be created with help from computers and imagination.
That's fascinating. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone seems like a realistic and interesting movie. However, the icing on the cake comes down to one movie that a lot of you listening may have heard of. Coming out in 2019, Avengers Endgame exploded amongst movie critics after it provided its fantastic special effects work and a great storyline to wrap up the MCU's Phase 3. I'm Anya, and I'm here to tell you about Avengers Endgame and how it marks the true evolution of movies. Contrasting to the movies we discussed, Avengers Endgame provides thrilling and intense scenes by using modern technology and special effects.
The special effects were amazing, honestly, and there were so many enjoyable characters.
The sounds were also a very big part of how the movie was presented. For example, movie makers can set a suspenseful scene by implementing dramatic music or use computer-generated sounds to provide the effect of engaging the audience.
Yeah, all those loud explosions and the sound made the movie very thrilling, like one huge roller coaster.
The graphics were also very high quality. It had vibrant colors and was presented in a way that gave a whole new experience to such a movie. The release of Avengers Endgame in 2019 concluded the final installment of the MCU's Infinity Saga, leaving fans in high anticipation for Phase 4. This movie broke an astonishing number of world records when it premiered last April, greatly attributed to the cliffhanger ending in Avengers Infinity War. The special effects added to the movie made it better, adding things that couldn't be done in real life. The characters were able to be portrayed in a certain way because of the special effects. Different scenes and settings, which made it more memorable and special. The lighting used shine light on details that were not as noticeable before. The movie also had some very good dialogue. The movie had light magic, and overall, I think this was an amazing movie with great special effects, and it really shows us how we went from movies in black and white to using amazing technology to create realistic scenes.
Ultimately, the film industry has changed and evolved in fascinating ways.
There are countless movies that have impacted the movie industry and have inspired people to do the same.
Despite the thousands of cinematical masterpieces created, all good movies come to an end, and so does our segment.
Before ending, I would like to give credit to our editors and writers for their contributions, and thank you to everyone who was able to help us with this segment.
We hope you enjoyed listening to our podcast.
And we hope it was as informative as it was fun for us to create.
We hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Goodbye.
Hello, and welcome back to Halsey Talks. In today's segment, we're interviewing our peers on two very important Disney movies.
Some questions will include what they mean and how they have impacted the evolution of movies.
The first movie will be Snow White with Pemberley, Niloufar, and Nishan.
And the second movie will be Covering a Soul with the interviewer being Nishan and the interviewers being me, Avish, and Lucas.
Now let's start the show.
Movie 1, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, 1937. Released February 4th, 1938.
To start this interview, we want to know what this movie means to you specifically. Has it impacted you in any way?
Wait, Snow White has an impact? Oh, I have one. Don't trust animals cleaning.
What it means to me is that I don't trust someone that has a pointy shoes and a big old hat.
Okay, that does not sound right. Next question. What role do you think this movie has in the evolution of movies?
Well, it was the first color movie made by Walt Disney. But oh boy, they need to work on the eyes. They look so creepy. Have you seen them?
Like Pemberley said, it was the first colored movie made by Walt Disney, which makes it pretty interesting.
Okay. What is the moral that you receive from this movie?
Don't be friends with dwarves. They'll turn you into your maid.
The moral of the story, I think, is don't be psycho or else you will have to live with an evil mother. But seriously, selfish desire can be dangerous.
Well, I'm glad that ended.
Movie 2, Soul, 2020. Released October 11, 2020.
The second movie of Soul. What does this movie mean to you?
What it means to me is to find a soul, like fun adventure, things like singing.
In my opinion, it means to stop complaining. Just stop complaining.
Shy, here we go again. What role do you guys think this movie has in the evolution of movies?
The role it has on the evolution of movies is that the animations are way cooler, and they have cooler story timeline, not to mention they're awesome.
I'm pretty sure, as Avish said, the animation of Soul is way better than Snow White. Snow White's animation looks like watercolor.
That's interesting. The last question is, what is the moral or the lesson that you receive from this movie?
The moral of the story is be the person you are, even if you look weird and do creepy things.
Pause. Stop right there. Hi, it's me, the editor, and I just wanted to let you know that while Avish is telling you to be yourself, please, please, please do not do creepy things. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
It also means to be grateful for things in life, especially the socks my grandma gave me for Christmas. Thanks for listening to our podcast, Halsey Talks. We'll see you next time on this podcast, Group 5. Group 5 signing out.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.